This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. 150 years ago today, exhausted and out of ammunition, a group of Union soldiers from the state of Maine, the 20th Maine Infantry, fixed bayonets and charged a line of Confederate troops. It was a heroic and daring attack that broke Confederate assault on Little Round Top in Pennsylvania and changed the course of the Civil War.
The Battle of Gettysburg, of course, was a pivotal Union victory that saved the Federal Army and set the South on its long path toward defeat. On that day, the 20th Maine Infantry was commanded by Colonel Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, a college professor who would go on to become governor of Maine and the president of his alma mater, Bowdoin College.
So here's a scene of that bayonet charge from the film Gettysburg with Jeff Daniels playing the role of Colonel Chamberlain.
We're going to sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Ellis, you take the left wing, and when I give the command, I want the whole regiment to go forward, swinging down to the right.
All right, sir. Fine.
Move.
Bayonet! Chamberlain's leadership at the Battle of Gettysburg made him a Civil War legend, even if his precise role on that day has been the subject of a century and a half of debate and dispute. Joining us now is Tom Desjardin. He's a Civil War historian and historic site specialist from the state of Maine. He joins us today from the Gettysburg battlefield in Pennsylvania. And welcome to the program. Good to have you, Tom.
Well, thanks for having me.
And before we talk about what happened on that day 150 years ago and that dispute, tell us something about Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. Before the Civil War, he wasn't a professional soldier at all, was he?
Not at all. He had spent 4 years in college to become a college graduate, and then 3 years in the seminary up in Maine to become a minister, and instead chose to become a college professor. And that was the extent of his training before the war.
But he was determined to get into this war, so he does. And he takes command of the 20th Maine Infantry, which at one point is sort of a troubled company of soldiers that included a bunch of mutineers who wanted to go home. Right? Tell us about
that. Right about the time that he took over command of the regiment, about a month before the battle, there was another regiment called the 2nd Maine Infantry whose overall enlistment period as a unit expired, but there were a number of people, 70 or 75, who in the regiment who still had time left on their own personal enlistment. And so they were transferred to the nearest Maine regiment, which happened to be the 20th, and many of them weren't happy about it because the regiment they had enlisted in was going home. They weren't. And so it took a little bit of social manipulation, if you will, to get them included into the regiment and to become a fighting part of it.
Mm, and Chamberlain gets a lot of credit for that. And on July 2nd, 1863, he's commanding the 20th Maine Infantry as part of the federal defense of Little Round Top in Pennsylvania, facing an attack by the Confederates. Tell us about the bayonet charge that would lead to Colonel Chamberlain's fame.
Well, the Alabamans, a regiment and a half or so that had been attacking the 20th at that position, had done so 4 or 5 times by that point. And Chamberlain came to the conclusion that his unit would not be able to hold off another attack because they had progressed further each time during these attacks. And he thought that he wouldn't be able to stop the next one. And so as he thought, the only way that he thought he could stop the next charge from happening and hold on to his position would be to sort of jump down off the hill or run down and try to break up the clumps of Alabamans at the bottom who he thought were forming for another charge. And so he thought he had the element of surprise and momentum of being moving downhill. And he led the regiment in a charge where the left wing sort of swung from left to right and landed down among the Alabamans as they were organizing. And seeing the 20th Maine coming and not being organized for a charge, that a lot of them just simply dropped their muskets and ran.
So one of the things, you know, I was looking at this clip from the great movie with Jeff Daniels called Gettysburg, and at one point they have a scene where Chamberlain is confronted with a Confederate officer who points a revolver right at his head. And I understand that this was actually based on real history, right? I mean, he was very lucky to have emerged alive from this charge.
Right, even more so. In the movie, the gun goes click, but in real life, it fired and missed.
Oh, boy.
And that pistol is today in the Maine State Museum on display.
Right. Now, there's some dispute about whether Chamberlain actually gave the order to charge. Can you explain what that dispute is about in terms of how much credit he gets for this heroic bayonet charge?
Well, he had spent a good part of the time just before the charge getting ready to have the charge commence. And he ordered the bayonet, meaning he'd asked, told his men to put on their bayonets. And as a World War II combat veteran once told me, you don't put those on to go on a picnic. There's only usually one object after you put on a bayonet, and that is to charge down the hill and get within 2 feet of your enemy to use it. So it was pretty clear among a lot of the men that that was the intention. The problem is, through some, you know, confusion of battle and things that make it difficult to see in the smoke and everything else, the left wing sort of started on this charge before he had a chance to actually yell the word forward, which was the appropriate command. And as he said the rest of his life, you know, either he said it caught in my throat, or if I had said it, no one would have heard me anyway, and things of that nature. It's a bit of quibbling over whether or not the words came out of his mouth, since it was his actions just prior to the charge that caused the charge to happen, and it was his intention to conduct a charge. So it's a little bit of a fine hair to split, but he did say that the rest of his life that he'd never ordered the word charge or forward never did come out of his mouth prior to the beginning of the charge.
Well, Tom Desjardins, you're a Civil War historian. You're down there at Gettysburg right now. What was the significance of that charge? I mean, how important was that one charge in terms of the rest of the Civil War?
Well, it wasn't a charge that, you know, it has been sort of created into a charge that talks about whether the Union was saved here at Gettysburg by it and those kind of things. And that's a little bit blown out of proportion. There were, at that time, about 10,000 Union troops within a half a mile of Little Round Top that were not at that point occupied. So it's unlikely the Confederates would have taken the top of the hill. But that doesn't mean the other men in the regiment. The regiment was one of four in the brigade, and it was the left, and had the 20th failed and rolled up or chased off the battlefield, then the other three regiments would have been in a lot of difficulty and suffered a number of casualties. So they held the flank of the brigade and slowed the Confederate assault and obviously, you know, prevented the Alabamas from taking the top of the hill.
Mm. And Chamberlain, of course, would go on. He would serve with great distinction in the rest of the war. He was wounded 6 times. He played a pivotal role in the Battle of Appomattox, the Appomattox campaign. Tell us about his career after the Civil War. What happens then?
When he got home from Maine, very shortly thereafter, the Republican Party asked him if he'd like to run for office, and he agreed to, and was elected governor in 1867 by the largest margin in the state's history up until that point, and then was reelected to 3 more, so a total of 4 1-year terms as governor of Maine. And after that, he was shortly thereafter appointed as president of Bowdoin College, his alma mater, where he had also been a professor, and he served in that capacity for 13 years. And then was involved in various business interests and, different things for the rest of his life after that.
Yeah. Now, I'd love to ask you, Tom, as we've mentioned, you're down there at Gettysburg right now. What's going on there today on this 150th anniversary of this famous battle?
Well, right now, there's the largest crowd I have ever seen surrounding the 20th Maine Monument. There's probably about 1,000 people here right at this moment. But today is primarily a bunch of battle walks, as they call them, tours of the battlefield conducted by park rangers. And they have pulled in rangers from literally all over the country to the areas that they keep up, you know, the number of people, for everything from directing traffic to giving interpretive tours to helping the public find things. And so today it's mostly battle walks. Beginning at 6 o'clock this morning, there were 700 people on the first tour of the day. And all during the day, there are these little half-hour tours and these long, say, hour-and-a-half, two-hour walking tours, and all of that kind of stuff going on constantly, as close as possible to the real time that these things happened 150 years ago.
Hmm.
And that'll continue through the rest of the week. The big event was Sunday night, the big kickoff or commemorative ceremony. There were 10,000 people on the field with Doris Kearns Goodwin. Trace Adkins sung the national anthem, and they had this hour-and-a-half-long presentation. And then luminaries, 3,500 luminaries in the National Cemetery, one for each soldier's grave, which is really a beautiful event in the evening and after it got dark.
Well, Tom Desjardins, thank you so much for talking to us today. We appreciate this little bit of history that you've given us. We appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
That's Tom Desjardins. He's a Civil War historian from the great state of Maine. He's author of several books, including Stand Firm, Ye Boys from Maine, the 20th Maine and the Gettysburg Campaign. He was telling us about Colonel Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain and the 20th Maine Infantry and their pivotal role at the Battle of Gettysburg, which was fought 150 years ago today.
Well, that's it for today. Our show is produced by Jessica Alpert, Amory Sievertson, Dina Rosendorf, Alex Kingsbury, and Mira Sharma.
Our interns are Celine Hakobian and Siobhan O'Grady.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.